Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union. Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Perek Tzadi Zayin, Chapter 97. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. Chapter 97 sort of picks up where 96 left off, which again, of course, makes sense in terms of their locale one to another, but essentially thematically as well. Where you have the sense that we are building in a certain direction here, talking about the exhorting of Klal Yisrael in 95 in Luchun Ranina, and then the next one talking about how we should reach out essentially to the world to tell them about the Shira Chadash, that we should sing the new song that we should be singing, the sense of inviting them or calling on them, the rest of the world, to sing along with us, both Jew and non-Jew alike, to the greatness and the glory that is God. This one takes it a step further. There are probably two ways to break down 97, Tzadi Zayin, in terms of stanzas, which we've done in the last few. You could take it that it would be sort of Aleph through Dalet, which will set a certain image, and we'll get to that in a moment. So it'll be verses 1 through 4, and then 5 through 7, which will evoke another image. And then 8, 9, and 10 would go together, leaving really 11 and 12 for a separate image, and really verse 1 really as a sort of a coterid, an introductory statement. So that's one possibility, which would set off essentially three main stanzas, each being three verses long. The other approach is to break it down along different lines would be really, again, verse 1, it's almost in a sense by itself, and then Beis through Hay, 2 through 5, and then this one would take Vav through Tes, 6 through 9, and then the last three together. So there are a variety of ways to break it up, and really, the purpose of that being is sort of thematic in nature. Let's begin. So we begin now the third section, really, of what we call Kabbalah Shabbos, Hashem Malach. So we begin like this. Adonai Malach Tagel Ha'aretz Yismichu Im Rabim. So we say as follows. God reigns. Hashem reigns. And let the earth rejoice. Tagel Ha'aretz. Let the multitude of islands be glad. Yismichu Im Rabim. Iim is an interesting term. It literally means islands. But Lamasa, what does that imply here? So let's say that it means sort of the ends of the earth, the distant lands. If you think of where Eretz Yisrael is, where this is being written, and the sense that the end of the earth maybe is sort of out into the deep Mediterranean Sea and not beyond. So at the edge of that area, you'll have, Cyprus is first, and then you're going further out through the Mediterranean. You'll come across a couple of other island types. So let's assume that that's what that means. And let's assume that for the moment, the word malach reigns, while it's a past tense terminology, often, first of all, in the biblical poetry, in the biblical text, we will have an interchange between future and past in terms of language. And at the same time, we could also think of a different possibility as well. I don't recall which of the commentaries said this, but the notion of being Hashem Malach is sort of a foreshadowing that in the end of days, which is sort of what we're talking about here in the end of our Mizmer, we'll look back and it will always be viewed as Hashem Malach, that Hashem will always have been reigning. So when we make the statement of Hashem Malach, excuse me, when we make that statement now, it's really now meaning always. Hashem is always reigning. Yismichu Im Rabim. We'll get to all the meanings in a moment and we'll see the following beautiful image. Listen to the terminology. Anan va'arafel sivivav. Right, clouds and darkness surround him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzedek u'mishpat mechon kis'o. Right, righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Eish lifanov telech u'silahet saviv tzarav. Fire goes before him and burns up his enemies that surround him. He'iru birakav tevel ra'asav atochel ha'aretz. His lightning lightens the world, and the earth sees and trembles. If we hold it there, in terms of the image, we have some language that is very reminiscent for us. Anan, Arafel, Esh, Barakav. All those words, descriptive words, are descriptive words that we find in the varying descriptions of Ma'amad Har Sinai. the Sinai revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God revealing himself to the Jewish people on Sinai, on the Mount Sinai, giving them the Torah. Those terms are there and they're evoked here. Not an accident, of course. If, as we take as the Midrashic senses, that Moshe Rabbeinu is writing it, then Moshe Rabbeinu is evoking the image of Har Sinai once again. And he's bringing that image here. Very good possibility. At the same time, the sense that it's founded on righteousness and justice is also, because that's what the Torah is. The Torah is, it rests on those pillars, righteousness and justice. And the interesting sort of language here is the burning up of the adversaries, of the enemies, Telahit Savitzarah, which we'll get to in a sort of an explanation. But perhaps at the outset, the whole world, Tagel Haaretz, the world, the earth rejoices. The earth rejoices in the image of Kabbalah HaTorah, but also the sense that the earth rejoices on its own, evoking that message. Nature, again, rejoicing, the world itself being happy about the sense of Hashem being Molach, Hashem being the king, right? And then we have, interestingly enough, sort of a playoff of Tagel Haaretz Vatochel Haaretz. Tagel is rejoicing. Tochel, in verse 4, is trembling. But they sort of, perhaps, set off as bracket points in the descriptive text. And that would allow us to sort of cut the stanza at the end of verse 4. At the same time, it's very easy for us to include verse 5, because verse 5 is a very, very powerful image. Harim kadonagda masu melifnei Adonai. The mountains melt like wax. Kadonag would be like wax. Namasu, melt before Hashem. Milifnei Adon kol haaretz. Before the master, right? The Lord of all of the land. And that would allow us to sort of have the full nature experience in God presenting himself as Eish in darkness and in clouds, right? And all of those things, creating the destructive mode towards the rest of the world, because they simply cannot, physically in the natural world, cannot handle the presence of the full-on presence of God in the world, and therefore they melt away. So Lahait Zavitzarah back in 3 is the same sense about our adversaries around us, burning up of our enemies, in the sense of destruction of our enemies. The Ma'amad Har Sinai moment, the Sinaitic experience, can be spiritual for those that want it, and it can be an ultimate destruction for those that don't. And therefore, as it's revelatory for one set of people, it is sort of anti-revelatory, or the negative of what would be the high on high, for the enemies of that. So there are sort of two ways to split that, either verses 4 or verse 5, but it sort of evoked the same image about the presence of God in the world, God in nature, and how that affects and how that impacts and what that image really looks like. Moving along into verse 6, so now you can have, again, the same sort of idea where it's no longer that message about the Har Sinai type of an image, but you can put it back into the text. If we're going to take 5, 6, and 7 together, and that we'll do that for now, is so you have the melting of the mountains, and then Higidu Hashemayim Tidko, the heavens are then speaking and proclaiming, declaring the righteousness of God, right? We had the sense of righteousness earlier in verse 2. Now the heavens are pronouncing it, and then it shifts. Ve'u kol ha'amim kivodo. So moving from the natural world in verse 6 to the physical human being sense of the world in the middle of the verse. Now, we've seen transfers in the middle of verses before, and it's no different here. And perhaps the simple explanation is that we're all part of the Bria, and then just in the same way, in sort of from a certain perspective, that the Bria itself, the natural physical world, can praise God and be joyous at the presence of at the proclamation of the glory of God. So to us, so there is no distinction, perhaps, or differentiation between us and, let's say, the mountains or the heavens. Yevoshu kol ovdei pesel hamishalim ba'elilim. Ashamed will be all those who worship idols, engraven images. Hamishalim, that boast and that sense, that praise themselves in elilim, those that are nothing, gods that are nothing. Hishtachavu lo kol Elohim. All of the gods will bow down to him. So in the first sense, we had the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world in terms of fire, in terms of that image. Now we have the sense of the other nations reacting or coming around and coming to grips with the presence of God. Yevoshul, they will be ashamed. Right, once that happens, that the world sort of moves, the physical world moves in a certain direction, and all of the people, Kol Ha'amim, see the honor and glory of God at the end of verse 6, so then what's the only reaction could be being ashamed. Right? Here we're not talking about enemies, we're talking about people who believe in other things. We've seen throughout Tanakh that people believe in a variety of gods, and they believe that there is the one God of the Jews is one thing, and their God is another thing. And now, not only are they going to be ashamed by virtue of their service and who they were worshiping, but even further, their gods will now bow down to our God. It's the ultimate shame, essentially. Admission or acknowledgement of the true power in the world, evoking the image in Tanakh where you have Dagon, who is the god of one of the gods of the Plishtim, of the Philistines, bowing down in a certain sense, or finding itself face down before their own Hashem at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. You should look there to see that story. But it does sort of make that sense about that story there, right? So now you have the people of the world bowing down. Shama v'tismach Tzion v'togelna b'nos Yehuda l'man mishmotecha Adonai. Tzion hears. Shama v'tismach Tzion. Tzion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Yehuda rejoice because of your judgments, Hashem. We have now again two words that came up before, Simcha and Gila in verse 1. Now they come back again. Tismach mitogilna. Right? Same language that comes up, that comes back now here in this sense. Here we have now the Jewish people's reaction. So we had the natural world, we have the other nations, the worshipping nations of the world, and now you have the Jewish people sort of in a sense rejoicing. Benos Yehuda, then they sing and they are besimcha in the world. They speak to the righteousness and the judgments of Hashem. Ki ato Adonai Elyon al kol haaretz ma'on na'aleisa al kol Elohim. The word ki comes in as the explanation. Why are they doing this? Why is all this happening? Why are the goyim acting this way? Why are the Jewish people behaving in this way? Because you, Hashem, you are above all of the earth. You are above everything. Ma'od na'aleisa, you are exalted above all of the other gods. Remember the teaching we have said numerous times is the sense of terming the idols or the gods of the non-Jewish people as God is not to give them any legitimacy in terms of power, but rather to use them for biblical and poetic license for the sake of making the connection, as well as understanding that that's how people viewed them, and this is how they ultimately should view them vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ohavei Adonai Sinura. Ohavei Hashem, those that love Hashem who hate evil, Shomer Nashos Chasidov, Miyad V'Shoim Yatzileim. Now as it moves, you have the sense not only of what we feel about a Kodesh Baruch Hu and how we react to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and how great a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, so the impact then, they will be saved from the enemies, Rishoim. Now it's not simply Ovde Pesel, it's Rishoim Yatzileim, right? That's a good, important shift. They deliver us out of the hands of the wicked. Or Zaruah Latzadik, a certain light is sown, literally sown, Zaruah, for the Tzadik, for the righteous, Uliyishrei Lev, Simcha, and those who are straight of heart. If you want to use another term, those who are upright at heart, those who are good at heart, they will have Simcha, and then Simchu Tzadikim, and Tzadikim also will have Simcha B'Hashem B'Adonai, and they will give thanks to his holy name. So what you get is that progression. You have nature, you have humans, and then you have the righteous. Right? Not only is the physical world going there, people themselves are going that way, the entire nation of the Jewish people is going that way, and then ultimately the tzaddikim sort of are joyous by virtue of the fact that everybody is acknowledging this. If you look in the liturgy, in the davening for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you get the same similar sense of language where you have, The language there in the third blessing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Kedushas Hashem blessing, the Holy Name blessing, evokes a very similar type of idea, where it's the whole world sort of reaching a certain apex, and then realizing the great righteous and tzaddikim who were doing this the whole time, acknowledging the reign and majesty and mastery of God over the entire world, and how much joy that brings the righteous, and how much joy that brings to the world, and that we're hopeful and we're prayerful of that reality coming to be. The sense being in that the Or Zeruah, sort of a great, beautiful finish, the Or Zeruah is that, the Chazal talk about the Or HaGanus, right? The light that was created at the outset of the world was too great at that time, and Hashem put it away and saved it for the tzaddikim to be revealed and given to the tzaddikim in its right day, in its right time. And it's only for the tzaddikim. Certain people can handle certain amounts of light, and others can handle different levels and gradations of light. And the same amount of light given to two different individuals will not have the same ultimate effect. For some, it will be awe-inspiring and inspirational and overwhelmingly meaningful and powerful, will bring great joy to the soul and to the body. And for others, that will be a light that will set them aflame and burn them. So there, the Or Zeruah here ultimately is the ultimate of what we want, and that's what brings the sense about the righteousness and the kindness and the goodness that we want to evoke, that we want to reach, that we want to be. So then, in a sense of our message, is the impact of the song that we're going to have, right? And so you have this sense of exhorting us in Tzadihei, away from the Dor HaMidbar, away from how they behaved in the years in the desert, to the sense of 96 of Shiru Shir Chadosh, right? You should sing a new song for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should encourage and bring in and draw in the other nations of the world to sing that song, right? And the song is really about Hashem Molach. The God, Hashem reigns, and Hashem is the power in the earth, and that's where the power reigns. We continue tomorrow with 98.